double duty tonight.
Okay, we're live.
Hello, good evening. adequate notice of this meeting of the Lawrence Township Planning Board has been provided by filing the annual meeting schedule with the municipal clerk as requested by law and by filing this agenda and notice with the municipal clerk, posting promptly in the municipal building and mailing to the Trenton Times and Trentonian newspapers. So that might be changing in January.
That's right.
We have a roll call.
Okay. Manager Nowitzki has an excused absence. Mayor Farmer?
Here.
Vice Chair Connolly?
Here.
Mr. Denver has an excused absence. Mr. DeShula has an excused absence. Mr. Duran?
Here.
Mr. Leggett has an excused absence. Ms. Lovelace?
Here.
Councilman Perry?
Here.
Mr. Hendricks is not here. And Mr. Scipio, not here.
All right, so we have several minutes for approval. We have those, right?
Okay. Yeah, there should be, so there's six sets of minutes. We can start with the August 4th open session.
Oh, they're attached to the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all one package.
It's all my face.
I have the same face, so. Okay, so let's start with May 5th, 2025. Can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Just bear with me. Let me get everybody down here. Okay.
Skip the section. I'll come back to it. I skip public participation.
All right. Mayor Farmer?
Yes.
Vice Chair Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Duran?
Yes.
Ms. Lovelace?
Yes.
Councilman Perry?
Yes.
And that's it. That's it. Okay.
Sorry, I skipped public participation. I'm going to go back to that real quick.
Oh, for things.
Can we have public participation for items not on the agenda? So any items that are not on the agenda tonight, does anybody want to come up and speak? So now let's go back to the minutes for approval. We have a closed session on May 5th, 2025. So can I have a motion to approve the closed session?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Mayor Farmer?
Yes.
Ms. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Duran?
Yes.
Ms. Lovelace?
Yes.
Councilman Perry?
Councilwoman Perry, yes.
I'm sorry, Councilwoman Perry. I'm reading her up the sheet here. They still had John Ryan to hear, so it was a councilman.
Oh, gosh. Council.
Okay.
We're good with that? Okay, so next minute for approval is May 19, 2025. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
I'm sorry, who moved that one?
Was it Phil?
Phil.
Phil, and then Mayor Segment.
Okay, all right. Mayor Farmer?
Yes.
Ms. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Duran?
Yes.
Ms. Lovelace?
Yes.
Councilwoman Perry?
Abstain.
Okay. All right, so now the closed session on May
19, 2025.
Can I have a
motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Mayor Farmer?
Yes.
Ms. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Duran?
Yes.
Ms. Lovelace?
Yes.
Councilwoman Perry?
Abstain.
Okay.
June 2nd, 2025? Can I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. Mayor Farmer?
Yes.
Ms. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Duran?
Yes.
Ms. Lovelace?
Yes.
Councilwoman Perry?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, and then a closed session on June 2nd, 2025. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. Mayor Farmer?
Yes.
Ms. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Duran?
Yes.
Ms. Loveless?
Yes.
And Councilwoman Perry?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Next, we have resolutions to approve preliminary and final minor site plan application of bulk variants for Lazy Dog Restaurant, 3357 Brunswick Pike, which is block 5201, lot 39, which we approved on June 16, 2025. So can I have a motion to approve the resolution?
Yes.
Okay. And a second?
Second.
Okay. Mayor Farmer?
Yes.
Ms. Connolly?
Yes.
Ms. Loveless?
Yes.
And that's it. Okay.
All right, now we're going on to applications. We have preliminary and final major site plan application, SP2/25, Aqua, New Jersey Water, well number 6, Lawrenceville, Pennington Road. This is block 4701, lot 4.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Richard Wells here from the law firm of Archer & Griner, here on behalf of the applicant, Aqua, New Jersey. As was stated, we're here this evening seeking your consideration for preliminary and final major site plan approval with respect to the well commonly known as well number 6, located at 51 Lawrenceville Pennington Road, block 4701, lot 4. This application specifically is for the demolition and reconstruction of the existing water treatment facility to allow for the reconstruction of a roughly 1,200 square foot water treatment building that will also facilitate what is known as PFAS water treatment equipment. Those site improvements will be detailed on the site plans, but we're also...
Sorry, I don't understand.
Early objection.
I don't say
you're always listening.
She has been silenced.
Very politely.
We're going to swear her in.
In addition to those improvements, we're proposing other improvements to the site, such as landscaping, lighting, and redoing the existing fencing. This facility particularly has been in operation since roughly 1976. Aqua, New Jersey acquired this site, the distribution system and everything that goes with it, in July of 2009. We will explain in more detail why we're here this evening, but in sum, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, in April of 2004, has released new water quality standards for an increasingly new contaminant known as PFAS. We are here to get ahead of those requirements. There are certain milestones and contamination levels that are required to be met by 2027 and 2029, and we're here this evening to propose improvements to ensure that we are far ahead of those standards. Notice of this application has been published and served in accordance with the municipal land use law, copies of which have been provided to the board secretary and solicitor for review. We submit we are squarely before your jurisdiction this evening. I do have two witnesses with me. Their names and affiliations are listed on what I have pre-marked as Exhibit A1. Council, if you'd like to swear them in, I can pass out a handout copy of
that. Yeah, sure, that'd be great. Madam Chair, I'll confirm that the proof of notice, proof of publication are in order, and we have jurisdiction this evening. Okay, we'll swear you. You swear the testimony you're about to give is truth.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lady, first introduce yourself.
Just a minute, Council. I just would like to make any small question to see if there's any clarity. Is there any relationship with Prudential with any of you? No. Okay. Just a couple.
Okay.
Yeah, I work for Prudential, that's why I wanted to make sure. Thank you. Okay.
We're good. If you could give us your name for the record, please.
Jenna Anderson.
And could you spell your last name?
A-C-K-E-R-S-O-N.
Thank you.
Sir. My name is Gregory Sullivan. I'm with Remington and Vernick Engineers. I'm a professional engineer and a professional planner licensed in the state of New Jersey.
Thank you very much.
Without any further questions, we will proceed. Thank you, counsel. Ms. Ackerson, you've been sworn. Could you just introduce yourself and describe your role with Aqua for the board, please?
Sure. Can I just check if the microphone on? Should be red.
Yes.
I'm a design here for Aqua New Jersey. I work on project management coordination for a lot of our projects, maintaining, upgrading, expanding our system, the diffusion network, and wells.
And could you just explain briefly, at a very high level, what PFAS is for the board and why we're here to treat it this evening?
They're basically recently discovered chemicals that have infiltrated our water. They mainly come from standard, like nonstick cookware, stainless steel clothing, and fire suppressants. They don't fade over time on their own, basically. So they're coined forever chemicals. They require more aggressive treatment, such as what we're here to talk about today.
And when you mention our water, this is not specific to Aqua. It's not even specific to Lawrence, really. It's a nationwide treatment standard that we're up against for all water utilities, correct?
Absolutely, is that everywhere?
If you could just describe the site in general. We're talking here about well number 6. We have exhibit A3 on the screen. Could you just talk briefly about the Lawrence distribution system and what we have going on at this site?
This is one of 3 wells we have for Lawrenceville. As a whole, it serves approximately 2,600 service connections, a combination of residential and commercial buildings. I believe this well in particular has a max capacity of approximately 500 million gallons per day, so it's a big component of Lawrenceville.
And at this site, there are no business operations that take place, correct? It's not open to the public?
No.
And it's not even a manned facility. It's mostly remotely monitored, correct?
Correct.
What about manned activity that takes place here? Is it roughly once a day?
Yeah, somebody checks in regularly, but once a day.
And that's not to conduct construction work or treatment operations. It's just, as you mentioned, a check-in, a kind of a monitoring.
Right.
And that occurs in kind of your standard, almost F-250 type of pickup truck?
Right.
Let's see. There's no heavy machinery, other equipment that causes noise, odor, vibration that emanates from this site, correct?
Correct.
And based upon the improvements that we're proposing, that would not change?
Right.
In terms of size and location of this facility, you mentioned it pretty substantial gallons per day here. All of the treatment equipment, the location of that equipment, the style of buildings, everything that we're doing here is really tailored towards what this well produces and where that wellhead is located, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not building a large building simply because you want to, but it's sized appropriately for the equipment.
Yeah, purely necessary.
So for maintenance of this system, and we'll get into some more detail of the structure and the system itself, but if these improvements are constructed as proposed here, what will the system require for maintenance?
There'll be roughly annually, we'll have to change out the filters that are there. So a truck come once a year and it'll be contained removal of the existing used filters and placing new ones.
So once a year, roughly for maintenance, and when you say removing the filters, is that a completely sealed system, or is there any danger of filtration media spilling either into the groundwater or the air?
It's all contained and sealed.
And obviously done by licensed professionals, and is that reviewed and approved by the DEP as well?
Yes.
I guess it, as an initial matter, the entire system upgrade also has to be reviewed and approved by the Bureau of Water System Engineering, correct?
Correct.
So with respect to overall operations in addition to the PFAS, are there any hazardous chemicals that are stored on site?
No.
What is the treatment process generally like for water outside of PFAS?
We monitor all the chemicals, the iron, the pH, everything there.
All of the signage and storage of any of the treatment chemicals that are involved are all compliant with DEP regulations?
Mm-hmm.
And of course that has to continue in order for this to get approved at the state level. As for the site and the improvements that are associated with it, we're providing some lighting at the site. We don't have business operations, no public operations, so you're not really looking to light this like a parking lot, really just minimum security lighting standards, correct?
Where everything's down facing and not going to be black windows.
So even if the lighting levers are lower than what would otherwise be required for commercial purposes, we're just talking about minimum security lighting, correct? And that is something that has to be on all night, but it's downward facing and shielded, like you mentioned. Any objection to providing the specs for those fixtures to the board, either as a plan note or just as a supplementary submission as a condition? With respect to the security fencing that exists around the site, so currently we have a 6-foot fence with barbed wire, and we're looking to replace that, correct? It's not technically allowed by design standards, but it's something that we would like to replace just for security purposes, correct?
Yeah.
And as for construction activity at the site, we noted that this is accessed via Johnson Trolley Line, and if there's any repair that needs to be done, it's a crushed stone access way. If the trucks cause any ruts or, you know, misshaping of the pathway, do we have any objection to repairing that pathway after construction is complete?
No.
What about to the access from the roadway as well? There's a little bit of a concrete apron that may get damaged by some of the construction trucks. Any objection to repairing that?
No.
Thank you. So just to confirm, water quality at the site is currently compliant?
Yes.
And with these improvements, it will remain compliant in advance of those standards, correct?
Correct.
And if we are unable to construct these improvements, the risk is effectively that the system is shut down by the state and federal law would require you to stop providing water, correct? Thank you. I have no further operational questions for Ms. Ackerson. You can continue with engineering testimony to tie some of that together if you'd like.
Okay. Any questions now, or maybe hear the next witness? I did have a question. What type of safety measures do you have if the water should become non-compliant? Is there an automatic shutoff or?
Yeah, we have monitors regularly. I believe they'll get a notification if anything gets flagged, and then they'll automatically shut it down. We have interconnections with American Water and Trenton in the event that we need to compensate elsewhere.
So they would be able to come over to the facility? They have access?
We have a tie-in with them, basically, so we can shut off our own well as needed and divert from their water.
Okay, thank you.
And Ms. Ackerson, just as a supplement, so the way that this contamination would work, it doesn't often happen suddenly,
right?
Correct? So you would notice that the levels are starting to creep up, and you'd have an opportunity to address those before they get to any concerning standards.
Right, we do monitor over time, and flagging that's getting more concerning quite more aggressively.
So basically it'll go from yellow to red.
It'll be phases of yellow and orange first.
Thank you.
Maybe you want to do you want to do questions? I didn't know if maybe the next witness would help answer any questions. So
I feel like I want to answer this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there going to be, in the event that there's been a violation identified, is there an audible alarm that will sound in the building?
I don't know if it's an audible alarm, but our operators get like a notification right away, and then they'll react accordingly.
So there's not, I guess what I wanted to try to get a sense of is, you know, even though it may be for a very good reason, is there an instance where there may be an alarm that's being heard throughout the neighborhood? It sounds like that's not the case.
The scanner, and if I can address that, do I have two group credentials? Or?
I think we'll have Jenna just take it easy.
Yeah, so basically the SCADA is silent. It's communicated through a computer. The operators will get alerts on their phone in today's technology, today's world, but there's not going to be an audible alarm.
Like no public disturbance, so that's
okay. Such that the residents, any residents would hear it, because that has to be done through operations.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Another question.
Okay,
I had actually two questions. One is, how do you test for PFAS? What is the testing process? And how fast do you get the results? And two, have you identified a source?
You probably people better handle the testing.
So the testing is done via a lab. It's not an instantaneous test. It's not something such as pH, where I can do a test strip and determine pH. So it has to be sent off to a specialized lab. It takes some time to come back, a week or two. The nature of the system is that, as the mayor had questioned, it goes from a green to an orange to a red, so there'll be enough advance warning. It's not going to be an instantaneous breakthrough on the PFAS through the vessels.
And source?
Source, I'm not aware of a source. I mean, the source can be, PFAS is very prevalent. It can be from the down south. Paulsboro has got manufacturing facilities that have contaminated aquifers. You can get it through firefighting foam. So many airports, particularly military airports, have a major problem with the PFAS. It is so prevalent, McDonald's has it in their wrappers. So it's you know, it's something that is common. I'm not aware that there's been a particular source identified for this particular site.
So can we assume that other wells in the area also have PFAS at this point?
It's an assumption.
And if I may just interject, so part of this exercise that we're going through here is the EPA has also imposed testing standards. So by 2027, you have to have an actual testing process in order to determine definitively is there or is there not a presence that needs to be treated at this well. So to answer your question, yes, there are other wells, and I'm sure several more may be identified up through 2027 and beyond, but it's now a part of the regular testing and treatment requirements, so that if it's not discovered right now, but it's discovered later on, it's a part of the contaminants that all water utilities will have to continuously test for.
Right. I'm concerned about the private wells out there that don't have a regular testing schedule, whether that's something that the township might recommend, that the people test their wells.
Certainly could. I'm not aware of a...
Yeah,
it's, you know, outside purview here, but I don't disagree.
Thank you.
I have a question. Is this similar? I visited the Green Street, I think, location for Aqua. Is this something similar to that that you're looking to build?
Do you mean the site that was developed on Green Street?
Yes.
Yeah, they had an application a few years back, and that was the exact same situation,
yes,
I believe.
Yes.
You added facilities to mitigate the PFAS.
Your main plant, the main water treatment plant, has already been upgraded to address this
right.
contaminant.
Okay, because I did visit that one about a year ago. That's the same, okay.
Yeah.
Where I learned about PFAS.
May I ask two follow-up questions? How often do you currently test, and what is the new requirement for testing that the EPA has put in for 2029?
I'm not sure the current, I believe it might be quarterly. So, I mean, I'm not sure of the actual testing protocol, but I think it's a quarterly program.
Currently, you test for PFAS quarterly?
I am aware of an update every quarter. It might be done more frequently, but at the, I would say, maximum time frame is quarter at the moment.
Okay, and unfortunately, due to the environment and, you know, situations that we're in, what is the security in this facility besides the barbed wire?
We're working on installing other wells, cameras as well, so we can have video surveillance. I believe the physical barbed wire and or gating is the primary.
Okay, thank you.
And like we said, there is once a day somebody comes by to check out the site, so if, you know, nothing ongoing, it's without notice.
Okay.
And would the monitoring, Ms. Ackerson, would also serve as a level of security. So, heaven forbid somebody does contaminate the system, that's immediately detected by the monitoring. That infiltration is then passed on to the operator, who can alert authorities and shut that down. So, that remote system allows for really almost instantaneous action.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Any other questions for this witness?
I did have one more. What is the current action level for PFAS?
I know the EPA is different than Aqua, so I'm not...
I do have that, yeah. current is between 13 and 14 parts per trillion, depending, there's several subcategories of PFAS. By 2029, they want that down to between 4 and 10, again, depending on the subcategory.
Okay, so extremely small amounts. What we're talking about. Okay, thank you.
What's the current level in the township?
I don't have the exact value in front of me, I believe.
You're still below.
Yeah, we're definitely below the current number. I don't want to give you the wrong town, but I have 6 and 7 parts per trillion as a rough estimate for the state of the whole.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's ask a question now. Sorry. Yeah. What kind of filtration is it? Is it ion exchange?
Ion exchange.
And you change the resin annually?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to the next witness, and I'll open up questions to the public, just because in case you have, you might answer any of them, so.
Absolutely. Mr. Sullivan, you've been sworn. Could you just state your qualifications for the record? I know you testified a little bit before.
Yes. So my name is Gregory Sullivan, professional engineer since 1985 in the state of New Jersey, professional planner since about 1995. So I've been with Remington and Burnick 35 years. Doing primarily water wastewater work, treatment and collection systems. I am also by license a mechanical engineer, so I deal with the pump end of the components and various treatment vessels. And what we've got here is a treatment vessel. Versed in terms of the planning end of it, and then versed in terms of the engineering.
Thank you, sir. And your license is active and good standing for both engineering and planning?
They are.
And have you been qualified as an expert in both fields by boards in New Jersey before?
I have.
Thank you, sir.
Not sure of this particular board, but have been with other boards in various municipalities.
Thank you. Any objections to Mr. Sullivan's qualifications?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Sullivan, I'll move on to our Exhibit A4 here. This is our existing conditions and demolition plan. Could you just review the existing site conditions and what we're proposing to do to remove them?
So this is an existing, it used to be owned by the township as a facility. It was bought by Alpha many years ago. So it's on, was formerly township site. It's an undeveloped site with the exception of these structures. But basically, we're going to take out some of the stumps, some of the wood area, remove the fencing, remove the building, the structure there, and for this particular site, reconstruct the facility. And in essence, in its place, but a larger footprint to accommodate the ion exchange systems.
Now, go down to our Exhibit A5 here. This represents the current state of the site as it stands today, correct?
Yes.
Move on to A6 here, which is our proposed improvements. Could you just briefly walk us through what it is we're proposing here?
So we're proposing a block structure to surround the equipment. We've got access through the back doors, the upper right portion of the exhibit as you see it, and then coming out to the solid line with basically access to the area will be surrounded by a new chain link fence with swing gates to allow people to access it. Lighting will go surrounding it, basically the equipment will be inside.
And we're not up against any environmental site constraints with this, so we're not bordering any wetlands. We don't have to worry about any other environmental constraints other than the confines of what the site is for us.
That is correct.
What about the functionality of the site? So we're within our footprint here. We have a little bit larger of a building and some new treatment equipment. But with these proposed improvements, will the site function from an engineering perspective the same as it does today?
Yes, it will.
Move down to our Exhibit A7, which is our landscaping and lighting plan. Now, what we're proposing here is to supplement the existing vegetation, mostly along the rear of the property, and the remainder of the property has existing vegetation that won't be disturbed, correct?
Correct.
Now, there were some comments in the technical review letters asking for maybe slightly different species, maybe a larger caliper here and there. Any objection to working with board professionals and refining this landscaping plan to incorporate those comments?
No objections.
And with the lighting, could you just describe what it is we're proposing and how the lighting would impact any surrounding properties?
So the lighting is down lighting. It's building mounted to light up the area around the building to alert any intruders, if there's any activity going on around the building. As Jenna has indicated, there'll ultimately be a surveillance of that area, so that lighting would serve to bring to Aqua's security area anything that's going on with that. Its down lighting should be pretty benign in terms of its extent. I think, you know, the foot candle, I think we probably did a half a foot candle to bring out where we are going to be, the extent of that lighting. It does not extend all the way out to the property lines.
So even though what we're proposing may not be compliant, maybe lower lighting than what you don't ordinarily require for a commercial site, it's on purpose.
It's on purpose, it's security-based lighting.
So no negative impacts to surrounding properties based upon the shielding and the lower level of lighting here.
Correct.
With respect to the equipment, all of it is housed inside. There was a comment, I'll move back to our exhibit A6, about a note here with a grinder pump. Would you mind just explaining that and confirming for the board whether that will have any adverse impacts on neighboring properties?
That grinder pump is to take four drains and to get it off to the sanitary system. It is totally below ground. You won't hear anything from that particular pump. And it's just a relatively small thing, not even bathrooms, it's just four drains that would be located within the building.
Now, with respect to stormwater, do these improvements trigger the requirement to mitigate stormwater formally?
No, they do not.
And do we have any adverse impacts on grading or runoff that would require mitigation for neighboring properties?
No, the intent is to bring it back minor sloping away from the building, which would be within 5-10 feet away from the building and back to the existing contours. So we would not anticipate that there's going to be any changes to patterns or amount of runoff on the site.
And of course, to the extent required, we of course have to confirm with the Soil Erosion Sediment Control District and get that plan certified. We'll provide copies of that upon receipt of it. We may have already.
We had approval for both sites simultaneously. I think we're in the process of splitting it up with the Soil Conservation District, but they have approved the sites as a combined site.
Thank you. Move on to the structure itself, and we'll go down to Exhibit A, 8.1 and 8.2. Would you mind just reviewing the materials and the facade improvements that we're proposing?
Yeah, so this is basically... So it's a vinyl siding. There's some decorative features on the larger structure to the right, but it's basically vinyl siding. And asphalt shingle roofing, pretty conventional looking from a resident's perspective.
Safe to say a little improvement over what exists currently.
That is correct.
There was also a note about these two overhead doors. Now they don't face our driveway, but these aren't for regular access. Could you just explain what these doors will be used for?
So in the event that the vessels themselves need to come out, these would be how the doors, how they would come out through. It's not anticipated even in the once yearly media change out that the vessels would be coming out, but the size and the location of these doors is to facilitate any future vessel change out, you know, 10, 20 years down the road, but it's not a annual occurrence.
And to follow up with that, Ms. Ackerson mentioned that the design here is really tailored to the size and location of the equipment. Would you agree from an engineering perspective that the size, the layout of the building, everything we're doing here is really tailored to have both a minimal impact and get what we need out of this treatment equipment?
That is correct.
Thank you. So based upon what we've presented this evening, the exhibits and the summation of the application, we do require a little bit of bulk variance relief for the setbacks from our two side yards here, as we have in our Exhibit A6. In your professional opinion, from a planning perspective, have we shown that that setback requirement from this rear and side yard is both reasonable and justified based upon the proposal?
I have. And one thing that we didn't go over, there is an existing well on this site, and we are basically putting that well inside the building. So we really were constrained with how much we could shift the building around, because the well is existing, it's located on the site, and it's the pivot point for any building alterations or any building that we would be building around it.
And to the extent there are any negative impacts, are those effectively mitigated by the landscaping that we're proposing as well?
Correct.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I have no further questions for Mr. Sullivan. We're happy to answer any questions you have.
Just quick question about the well. Do you know what pumping rate on that well is, how much you're pumping out on a given day, and maybe what the diameter of the cone of depression from that well might be?
Mrs. Ackerman had indicated a 500,000 gallons a day, which is a 700 GPM well. Cone of depression, I'm not intimately familiar with that, those well characteristics, but this is typically rock well in this area, so there's not a large influence around it in terms of the cone of depression.
So it must be in a very heavily fractured rock zone then.
That's my assumption on the nature of the well.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Yes. The demo plans do show wetlands, so is that a mistake perhaps?
Yeah, I don't see the wooded areas.
Yeah, it's the dash lines with the three dots.
Yeah, so we've looked into the wetlands relative to the actual disturbance areas, and we don't have an impact on, we don't have wetlands that change this physical envelope of the site.
No obligate or effect with the plantings in that area.
Excuse me,
no wetland indicators, even if it wasn't mapped.
I'm not familiar with any wetland indicators on that, from vegetation on that site, in that area.
I think it's a line symbol that you used that outlines the this tree disturbance area.
Yeah,
which is really, I think it was just, that's kind of typically used for a stream, and you used it for tree clearing.
Yeah, are you?
I think that's what the confusion was.
Maybe this line right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not a wetland in our world.
Thanks, I was totally confused.
In my world, that's not wetlands, and I do apologize for that.
Okay. Well 6 has a dehumidifier, but I don't see it in well 9. Is that?
It's just a different design.
Okay.
We're looking at whether the need for it or not.
And also regarding building materials, since asphalt shingles, vinyl siding, and fill, even if it's clean, can commonly contains PFAS, I wonder if that is an issue for the well house facility.
We'll take a look at that. I've not heard the trigger of vinyl siding with PFAS. I mean, the wrappers to me was mind-boggling. But we'll take a look at the vinyl siding if it's got PFAS in it.
Yeah, and there's a couple we have to bring in. It says the NJDOT spec fill
So it's clean fill, but they don't check for PFAS, so I wondered if you also do lab testing for that.
We'll take a look at the soil, import soil.
And another question. Regarding the overboard backwash, can you confirm that the rounding containment for the potential PFAS-bearing wastewater is sufficient? Or if that's a potential issue, it just seems small.
We'll take a look into that and see how we're going to mitigate any discharges to keep within aqua property.
And regarding lighting, since a correlated color temperature of a lower CCT for the lighting doesn't impact safety, I wonder if you can bring it down to 2,500 Kelvin.
Okay.
Because of the bats in the area. Mm-hmm. And that's another question. The environmental notes mention northern long-eared bat, but you might want to check that because it might just be the silver-haired bat. And the northern long-eared bats are endangered, but the silver is species of concern.
Okay.
Because the take of the northern long-eared bat, you might need additional mitigation, such as confining the time that you're doing the construction.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll take a look at that.
And I'm sorry, part of my other question. Regarding the noise for the venting, you did say that the grinder pump is quiet, but there is venting, so I just want to know the decibels of the...
So the grinder pump, you're not going to hear it. It's a pump. There's one or two pumps that are below grade. The vent fan may run based on high temperature. We'll meet the township standards, and I assume what you're assuming is the same as the state standards. We'll meet those at the property line.
Do you know what the standards are, the decibels?
I believe it's 65 in the day, maybe 50 at night. But yeah. We'll meet whatever standards are required by the township.
Okay, thanks. 65 is definitely a critical level for a bat. Even before that, but that's definitely critical. I'm done for now.
The Johnson Charlie line, is that access to the well? Is that how you're getting to it?
Yes, it is. And that's historically been the access to this particular property.
Okay. It's near the mill, right? Apartments?
The apartments are further along on the Charlie line.
Okay.
I guess my question is related to the Johnson Charlie line. You're saying you'll replace the stone dust, but I think the engineer's report had requested paving.
Yeah, we suggested the idea of paving it, and Rich, you could go ahead and explain that.
Sure. So it gets a little bit difficult when we get a request for off-track, off-site improvements. Just under the limitations of the land use law, what we're allowed to agree to is limited to on-site improvements and any access directly to the site. So for example, if this was a traditional driveway with an access apron, we could be requested and could agree to repair that. But because this is off-site and we're being requested to make an improvement, we just physically can't agree to that, but we can agree to restore it. To the extent there's any ruts or any damage to the trolley line, we will restore the stone pavement, crush them.
Yeah, I think that sounds reasonable. It was really a suggestion. I wasn't really thinking about the legal end of that, but it's a good point.
The access is through this line, so.
The trial line is access, right.
And it can, there are instances when you can require off-track improvements for things like increases in traffic. You know, you often see roadway widenings or signalization requirements, things like that. We just, you know, our increase in traffic is maybe one truck a year. So correlation is kind of tough. And
you said every year, every day?
No, our increase. So we're the difference in what goes on now versus what we're proposing. But because we're just recognizing that construction activity could have an impact, that's why we're trying to mitigate that.
Okay. And the barbed wire, what happened on the Green Street location? What was put there? Was there wiring, fencing put there?
I believe we just have a 6-foot fence.
So why can't that be done at these facilities?
If that's the township's requirement, we can certainly do as well. It was just, you know, if we can, you know, limit people trespassing any way we're allowed to, might as well. But that's a deal breaker, certainly we can adapt.
Is, you think so? But it's not the Green Street facility, though.
I don't think so.
It's
a nice
facility. I can double check to see if it's that one. I know we have a facility somewhere nearby that does not have barbed wire, so we, you know, can adapt, but whenever it's allowed, we have to.
I think we just recommended a barbless wire. So you still have the wire,
okay,
but just not the barbs.
Okay.
And
the applicants also agreed to work with us for landscaping, so there should be some more plantings between the trolley line and the fence itself that will screen, filter the view of the fence.
Okay. All right, those are my questions. Any other questions, Beth?
I had one item. One item in my report, I just don't think it got addressed. Everything else was. I had recommended signage with contact information in case folks walked by and felt like there was an issue. Is that something that can be agreed to?
Certainly, yeah.
Okay. I just had one question. So I think you addressed it. It was really, we had suggested in our report shifting the building a little bit forward. And I know you'd said that that location was really based on the well. So I just wanted to just clarify that. So there's really no ability to shift.
The well drives and the interior piping and the structure inside the building is all located and pivoted around that well.
Okay.
So that's what created the need for the variances, the setback variances. So we would appreciate we don't wish to relocate the well. We want to keep that well existing and functional.
I made a note about seed mixes, but I don't remember where I saw it on the plan. But they're turf-type fescues and perennial rye. So I'm wondering if you could change that to something more deep-rooted, like juncus or carex, a different type of seed mix.
We can work with your board's professionals to help you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Is there anything? I know that there may be construction on the Johnson Trolley line down the road. Would any of this impact that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in the future, I think the town might pave that trolley line. You can see that since we're not going to do it. But other than that, I don't think there'd be any impact.
When the trolley line gets expanded, we may want to pave it later on.
Exactly. But that really wouldn't impact their access, except for the day or two that we pave it.
Yeah. We would just have to take that in consideration.
Yeah, we would need a heavier spec
to
handle it for the trucks.
If we decided to do that later.
Right.
To support the load.
Right.
Okay. All right, questions from the public? Questions, comments from the public? Stand up. Can you stand up?
Do you have a mic for how do you want to?
Maybe, can you switch with him
so
he can sit there? Maybe just sit. Or one of you. We used to give him space, yeah.
Madam Chair, why don't we swear in the questions and then the testimony, because it always turns into testimony.
Exactly. I agree. That's why I wait to the end.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give and questions you'll ask truthfully? And could we have your name and address, please?
My name is Victor Murray. I live at 4 Melvina Drive. Our property is on the opposite side of this pumping station, directly across from the village.
Thank you.
Bill Connors. The reason I come to this question, I appreciate the planning boards for this opportunity. I've been in the commercial real estate business for over 40 years, and I've attended quite a few planning board sessions in the past, and quite frankly, the question answers session, which you've just held, was very well conducted. I've seen it work effectively for major office buildings mostly, and I commend you for that. The questions came to me, though, was the PFAS. I think that's the bigger issue here, of course. And so I don't know if this is the proper form, because reviewing the plans, they look quite attractive. But I do recall from my bicycle rides back and through the village that I believe it's at pump number 5, that they the last 3 years has been a major renovation on Green Avenue. And there's now 3 structures interconnected with masonry construction with deep well tanks that were built underground. And quite frankly, it was a long process, a noisy process, a lot of invested people. And so my wife and I are concerned about what will be occurring that will disrupt our pleasurable enjoyment of our backyard. But that pump, I was curious, was that in relation to the PFAS forever chemical also? Is that why the work was done?
At least part of the work was related to that too. That was before I started working on it, so I don't know the full scope, but yeah. I know a large part of it was PFAS, yeah.
Okay, because it's quite extensive and attractively done. I don't think there's barbed wire on the fence out. The landscaping's been good. But the bigger issue here, again, is the PFAS forever chemicals. It's something that I learned a little more about during vacation Bible school from a resident of Titusville. And what she had to incur was amazing. She spent the $500, I think, or something, to have her system tested because she was suspect. And because of the cancer-causing situation, she had talked to the DEP, and they've got volumes of tanks that they had put in her basement as a resident in Titusville address. And she says they come out at least quarterly, if not sooner, to check her water because it is such a high content and concern for them. And I'm concerned that if pump 5 was a result, the expansion of the severity of this, in pump 6 now we're talking about, is this going to continue with each pumping station? And because I was curious, are the pumps all fed into the water tower system where we all share in that water? I forgot what the count was. It 23,000 residents are served by this pump?
I believe 2,600.
Yeah, because I was curious if it was just, if it goes to the tanks, is everybody else contaminated who served by those tanks, the water towers? That's one of our primary concerns right now. Because we know it'll be disrupted, and I thought it was a little early for 2029, I believe he said, and I know that took 3 years to do that work. If it's going to be that extensive, it'll be that. And as far as the question concerning retention, there is a retention base, and I don't know about the wetland situation, but my wife and I discovered it after getting this notice just 4 days ago. We got the certified letter. Quite frankly, at the height of vacation season, I think that's very poor planning, if not planned that way. I think there would have been a larger turnout if people had known how serious this is. I don't know how much the media's covered it, but right now, I think that we'll all want to know a little bit more about what we're addressing, not so much the construction, which looks suitable to us. And I've got a few residents here that were kind enough to tell me that they had concerns too, so I'm glad they arrived here before I did. So I really don't have, there's a lot of questions, but I think the bigger question is the PFAS, and I think the township should address that in a public forum like this a little more stronger than they did maybe before, but they did Tower 5 because that was a lot of work. But thank you.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna sure I'm gonna be able to put your fears at rest. This is well 6, and just for the record, after this application, we've got well 9. So there's a similar one.
Yes,
there's another one.
There is another one.
And hopefully we'll get that done before we leave tonight. The type of technology, it's ion exchange. I personally have well, and I haven't, it's been in existence for probably 15 years. I haven't had it tested. But an ion exchange is kind of like a water softener. But it's a larger vessel. The vessels are 8, 10, 12 foot in diameter, fairly tall as you can see from the building. But they're larger vessels. It's treating, a lot more water than your resident, a resident vessel in the case of myself. So we put But it's the same technology. It's an ion exchange. The ion bonds with the PFAS, and when we get a breakthrough in the PFAS, as indicated by the testing that Aqua would be doing, the vessels get changed out. The media gets removed. It's like a vac truck. It gets removed, new media is put back in, and is put back online.
Well, on that point, we have noticed on numerous vehicles going back and forth for both the power and the water. But on a few occasions, we saw some very major water tanker trucks literally going through that little tow path. And we were amazed at the size and the volume. Frequently, we smell what smells like chlorine. We don't know if it's directly if that's part of the problem.
I don't know what the purpose of those vehicles
is. Okay, I believe it would have been for the water, just because of tanker, not the other utilities. But when they were doing one on well 5 on Green, when I was bicycling by one morning, I clearly smelled, if anybody's going to done a high school frog dissection, I clearly smelled formaldehyde. It's a smell you will never forget. And they were pumping droves of fluids from that new station into the storm sewer. And by the time they came back from getting my coffee, it was the strongest smell of chlorine I've ever smelled. And I hope that's not a direct relation of the remediation of this.
Yes, and I cannot provide any testimony.
But there was an Aqua truck there and a gentleman who was doing the pumping. And that went on for about a half an hour at least. Just I drink a lot of coffee. But thank you for this opportunity. I don't want to hold back my fellow residents.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep, come on up.
Do you swear the testimony and questions that you will be truthful?
Yes.
Thank you. And your name, please?
Karen Edelman, 6 Melvina Drive.
Thank you.
So, a couple questions. It looks like the fencing, because of the bigger building, is going to be closer to the Johnson Trolley line. Is that correct? The exterior fencing?
It's a different, it's a larger building.
Is there going to be space for the truck to park, or is it going to be blocking the trolley line when it comes through every day?
Rich, yeah. Can you do some magic here?
Sure. The short answer is no, it will not block the
Okay, and so, then what about...
So that's your existing, that's the new site.
Right.
And that's...
So the trolley line's over here, and the fencing's coming out closer. The trolley line's
here. So that's your existing fencing, and then you can see the space. Okay, come on, please, Rich. Do the magic thing. So it's a little bit less, but you still have enough access
for the truck.
For the truck.
And then during the construction, how long do you anticipate construction to be?
I think we're talking 6 months a site, and we'll get to the other ones. It's not a very long process, because I think we have to look to kind of done by next April, maybe nine months.
This is my husband and I periodically work from home several days a week. We're adjacent. And what's the noise level during the construction, the demo, that kind of stuff?
It's building, it's going to be, concrete pours, so there'll be noise, but it's just like building a house, that sort of a construction site. I mean, we've got concrete for the floors and foundations, but what comes up is going to be similar to it.
And there'll be enough room for the construction vehicles
They should have stayed.
And we'll be compliant with all the township code requirements that limit when you can do construction. So it's not 24/7, Sunday morning.
Understood, but we work from home several days a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So that's it. Thank you. Okay, come on up.
Oops.
Do you swear the testimony about you is truthful?
I do.
Please have a seat.
My name is David Hoffman. I don't really need that microphone.
They need it.
They need it.
They want it. They want it.
My My name is David Hoffman. I'm at the 10 Melvina Drive location. And I know there is a fondness for, from the governmental point of view, of using acronyms. I would like to get a definition of what PTOS is.
It's PFOS.
PFOS, okay. PFOS. I saw in the letter it was PTOS, but maybe...
There's various compounds of it. I can't do the chemical words.
See, I'm a chemical engineer, so
that's...
Okay, let me go backwards again, and what are the compounds or the materials that are being drawn out by the iron salt?
The PFOS contaminants.
Only that. There are no other things like iron or calcium or magnesium?
I believe not. If this well had iron problems that exceeded
very definitely it does.
If it had it, then you know if they exceeded the need to do it by treatment, then we would have more facilities. They do sequester the iron. They do chlorinate it, and then sequester the iron, and then they do a chlorination. Chlorination has to be the last stage of the treatment.
Okay.
But so those two treatments is what exists currently. And then we're going to add the ion exchange to
the new facility.
The new facility.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. I think it's like per and polyfluoroalkyline substances.
I was going to try, but
I
didn't
remember. I had to look it up, Chris. I don't even know if I said that right.
David, did you hear what the...
It's per and polyfluoroalkyline substances. That's what it is.
That's what PFOS stands for.
Sir,
did you hear that?
You can do that again.
I'm sorry, what was this?
It's called per and polyfluoroalkyline substances.
Okay, so multiple groups.
Yes,
okay.
It looks like it's a bunch of things.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you swear the testimony about the truth.
Yes, sir.
Your full name, please.
My name is Raymond Perry. I live at 7 Melvina Drive. I'm just across the street from the facility. I'm not a chemical engineer, and I know nothing about PFAS. I don't want to know about PFAS. But it sounds like everyone here, the experts, certainly have a good handle on that. My main concern, to be honest with you, and maybe I'm a little skeptical, but I live at 7 Melvina Drive for 4 years. Been there from the beginning. My Toll Brothers put the first development in. And I've seen that trolley path over the years really gain a lot of access. It's been built beautifully. I think it's just been the last couple of years that really it's taken on, very, very important part of the community. I ride it every day. I walk it all the time. And there's everything from new facilities being built for water treatment to chicken coops back there. And my concern is that you said that, I don't know if I understand clearly, we can't use barbed wire on the fence, or we can use barbed wire on the fence?
So our request was to use it. The board is asking us not to use it. The township design standards do not permit barbed wire. So because it exists now, we requested to replace it, and the board is requesting that we do not use barbed wire.
So I guess maybe there's an alternative to really buttoning up the security, because there's a lot of people going up and down that tow path that never went up and down before. Like I said, I've been there for 40 years. I never even knew that there was a well back there and a well house back there. And certainly it's been there since 1975, 50 years already. So I just have concerns about contamination issues, people that can certainly be in this unfortunate time we live in, and world that we live in, could find it some kind of advantage to contaminate the water, break into the facility, climb over the fence pretty easily,
It's nice that it's lit up. At least we'll see who's doing it. But after damage is done, what do we do? So my point is, I've seen the facility on Green Street. It's beautiful. It really is. And I think there's a real tall fence that goes around there, more than 6 feet. And again, I guess my thoughts are, and I hate to say it, but I'm just concerned that it could be a disaster at some point in time if this thing's not really, really buttoned up because of the location and how accessible it is now to so many more people that never even knew this. That's my comment. I don't know what the thoughts are.
Maybe we can look at the fence that's on Green Street. Maybe they could just do something similar there.
Yeah, I didn't think it was taller than 6, but I can take a look at that. Maybe we can have that a condition that we can look at the different options for the fence height.
What if PSC&G put the fence on Texas Avenue?
That's really tall.
They did I think it's an 8 foot, and it's kind of curved back in.
There's no barbed wire there.
But it's not a barbed wire.
There's spikes. Yeah. Which that might be another.
It is a security fence, though.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very secure.
That could be an option.
We could look at other fencing options. I think I just noted to council that if we're going to talk about, you know, a potentially higher fence, we would just request relief. I believe the limitation is 6 foot. So, you know, if we want to consider something up to 8 feet and then sort of review designs with the board professionals, we can do that.
Yeah.
Want to do that?
Yeah.
Let's
do that.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Also, would this construction interfere with the delivery of water to the residents at all? Would there ever be a shutdown of water to the housing?
No.
To the houses?
No.
Okay, good. And I guess the material that you said it was vinyl siding and asbestos roof. The green
asphalt steel? Roof.
Asphalt roof.
Please, that's no asbestos.
Point two and PFAS. The facility on Green Street is beautiful, and that looks like it's been built to last a lot more than 50 years. It's all brick, really nicely designed. It's kind of like a colonial style look to it. It fits beautifully into the residence, into the town, into the neighborhood. And I'm just wondering, why wouldn't they go with a more substantial, long-term building construction material other than vinyl for something that hopefully lasts a lot more than 50 years?
So the intent, when we worked with Aqua with it, the intent was to mimic a residential-style house. You know, I assume that I haven't been to the Green Street facility, but I assume it's concrete block. And you know, it looks more commercial. So we tried to mimic the residential look. We went with vinyl siding and the asphalt roofing.
Well, it's brick, the Green Street, as opposed to a block, right. Which has a nice finish, which I think would look really nice on that path now that it's become so popular. But again, I've been 45 years living in Lawrenceville Green, and my house is one of the few that have cedar siding, and I specifically bought that back in the day because the vinyl it comes off. Storms take it down, winds take it down, and kind of looks very unsightly. And I don't know if it even damages the house itself or the building itself when the siding comes off. So just thought about, you know, kind of mimicking what they did on Green Street, which is
Green Street's in a historic district, so I think that's why it was brick. Okay. Potentially.
Okay.
But it is in a historic district, the Green Street one.
Very good. Okay. I appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Time. Thank you very much.
Site plans that's listed as block 24, but it's block 4. I mean lot 4. So I don't know if you have to change that officially.
There, yes, lot 24 is the left here. We have lot 4. We'll check the notes, but I have lot 4 listed here, so we'll double check that.
Yeah, it's a typo on the cover
sheet. Oh, it's on the cover.
It's on the cover sheet. Okay. On the,
I don't, but for some of the public comment, I could just mention that PFAS is pretty ubiquitous, so most of the community wells are having to do some mitigation treatment. And the Environmental Committee was doing annual well testing for private wells, so we'll make sure we can bring that back. And I think if you do have PFAS in your home well, the birth optimistic is usually the solution. So just to address public comment there.
That's good to know.
Are there any other questions? Do we want to go over the conditions or?
Sure. And I think we ought to include also the potential for an 8-foot fence like the one on Green. And to the degree that the staff and the applicant agree to that, we would grant a variance for that relief. But anyway, for the approval, the condition would be the 2,500 Kelvin light intensity. The vent noise will meet the township standards at all times. The if there's any damage to the trolley line as a result of this construction, it'll be restored and repaired. Beth's request for the signage, you know, that would be put up on the property. Construction hours will comply with the township construction regulations. Again, we'll take a look at the Green Avenue treatment facility and we'll come up with a decision about the height of the fence. And we're going to correct the front sheet from lot 24 to lot 4. I think that's it.
I think the only other the only other item I had noted was that they would update the landscape. They would work with board professionals to update
the landscape. I'm sorry, the landscape. We're going to work. Final landscape plan will be worked out with the staff.
There was also the question of the back if they were northern long-eared or silver-haired, and if they're northern long-eared bat, either a survey or limit construction from April to November, because that's the roosting season.
Okay.
What was the species again?
The plans indicate northern long-eared bat. But landscape indicates the silver-haired bat.
Mm. Beth, you folks can address that.
I think it's a matter of confirming the species, confirming their environmental documents, and if it is the right or the wrong type of bat, their construction time is going to have to be altered.
Right.
Yeah.
And one more thing, they were going to check on the routing and containment on the overboard backwash to make sure it's sufficient. Should I rephrase that, Ed?
You got that, Ed?
I think so. We'll find out when it comes back.
Any other questions? Any questions?
We're just comparing notes to make sure nobody left anything out of that room.
Are we good?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get a motion to approve the resolution with the conditions noted. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay. And a second?
Second. Hold the board.
Okay, Mayor Farmer.
Yes.
Ms. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Duran?
Yes.
Ms. Loveless?
Yes.
Councilwoman Perry?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, on to the next one. So the next one should be a lot easier, right?
Thank you.
Site-specific questions, but everything related to PFAS treatment requirements and office general operations would also apply to this application.
Sure.
Thank you. Once again, notice of this application was also published and served in accordance with the municipal land use law. We submit we are squarely before your jurisdiction this evening. Our two witnesses are once again identified on Exhibit A1. Any objection to their qualifications still being accepted and they're still being under oath?
Accepted.
Thank you. What I'll do is I'll jump right into our Exhibit A3 here, which is our aerial overview of the existing site. Ms. Ackerson, could you just describe what goes on at this specific site?
Yeah, the processing system, same 2600 connections. This particular well is about half or a third the size of production as the previous well. But feeds into the same system and has more or less the same.
And in terms of operations, does this function the same in terms of, this is not open to the public, it's unmanned,
sure.
What, roughly one trip a day for monitoring?
Yep.
And in terms of proposed operations, would that still also be similar to application SB2 in terms of the maintenance frequency and the maintenance operations that we expect here?
Yep, same once a year.
And with both the existing and proposed conditions, once again, do we expect any noise, odor, vibration, light disturbance, anything to result from these improvements?
No.
And not existing currently, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Ackerson before we just dive into the engineering discussion on the operations for Well 9?
Questions?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Sullivan? You are still with us?
I am.
Your license is still active in a good state. You never know. I have a call here.
Yeah, Siri.
You might get another call. Right?
That's true.
Yeah. Siri, yeah.
I have our Exhibit A4. If you could just walk us through the existing site conditions, and I have our site plan teed up as A5 as well.
Yeah, so the existing site is accessed again by the trolley line. You see the driveway that goes up to the existing fence. This is a rather small building, and we're going to propose an addition to that building to house the new equipment that's going to be used to treat the PFAS.
And A5 is our, existing conditions and demolition plan.
So minimal demolition, because we're going to retain the main structure of the existing well house. We'll look at the fence and some discharge piping that would interfere with the new building location.
And I'll move on to our proposed improvements, exhibit A6. Can you just walk us through this improvement plan briefly?
So again, the existing building, existing well, and the treatment coordination and sequestering that's housed within that building will remain, and we're going to add that new structure to house the new PFAS equipment. Accessed by a front door near the existing access off the trolley line, and then a new chain link fence surrounding it.
And similar to the application SP2, we have the wellhead located right here. So once again, the size, location, and layout here is all based upon what this existing site gives us in terms of wells and layout.
Correct.
With respect to our setback, we are requesting a bulk variance for this 9.37-foot setback here. 40 feet is otherwise the requirement, and we have between, I'd say, about 12 and a half or so feet for the existing building. There's no way we could get a 40-foot setback with this setup, correct?
That is correct.
I believe that would also be outside of our boundaries of our easement area here. But in terms of the layout, is this mitigating the impact as much as we can?
That is correct. Yeah, so and again, same principle applies. We're pivoting the interior piping and the location of the PFAS equipment around the location of the existing well.
I'll move to our A7, which shows our landscaping and lighting. Actually, if I may, I'll move back to A3, because I noticed we're just having landscaping around the rear here, but there's existing vegetation that we have along the other sides of the property that's sufficient, correct?
Yeah, correct. We're trying to retain that existing vegetation as much as we can.
That's displayed a little bit here in A4, so we're really just trying to supplement the rear where you can see this neighboring property.
Correct.
Okay, and with respect to the lighting levels, once again, they may be lower than what would otherwise be required for a commercial property, but is this the intent here, minimal for security purposes, downward facing, and to remain on all night?
That is correct.
Any objection to incorporating the comments with respect to temperature and fixture detail being provided to the board?
No objection to that.
Okay. And I'll move to exhibit A, 8.1 and 8.2. Once again, could you describe just the design intent and the materials and the functionality of these overhead doors?
So again, the overhead doors are used, intended to be used some point in way in the future in the event that the vessels have to come out and be replaced. Annual maintenance and replacement of the media would not require the doors to be opened. They would be able to be accessed through the small man door. Materials are intended to match existing materials in the neighborhood. I think, again, we're doing vinyl siding. Vinyl siding and asphalt shingles to try and blend in with the nature of a residential style house.
And do these improvements trigger any stormwater mitigation improvements?
No, they do not.
What about just the impact of grading or runoff in general?
So again, we're going to match the grading. We're not intending to make any steep changes. It's a relatively flat site. So we're just trying to blend in with the new structures and not have an impact on grading and not have an impact on stormwater management.
And one comment I forgot to mention on our site plan here. We note a dehumidifier on a concrete pad. Could you just review for the board what that is and whether or not it'll create any disturbance.
So the dehumidifier intent is to remove the humidity, preserve the piping, keep the vessels and the piping from sweating. We're pulling up groundwater, 60 degree Fahrenheit, in a humid day that we had past couple of weeks, that piping would sweat. So the dehumidifier would basically remove the moisture from inside the building and keep the piping in a good condition.
Is that a loud process at all?
It should be loud, no.
Does it create any discharge or anything that's released into the air that we should be concerned about?
No.
So any objections to indicating that we'd be compliant with all the noise noise regulations for the township?
No objections to that.
With respect to the operation of the site from an engineering perspective, does it remain true that between the current operations and proposed improvements, functionally there would be no engineering difference to how the site operates?
Correct.
I guess from the outside eye.
From the outside eye. Yeah. Internally, we would be removing the contaminants.
And last but certainly not least, with respect to the bulk variance that we're requesting, in your professional opinion as a planner, based upon the constraints of the site and the layout from the wellhead that we're dealing with here, is the requested front yard setback relief reasonable and justified under the circumstances?
It's reasonable and justified, and we could not move this building to not have a variance given the site constraints and the location of the well and the interior piping.
And in your opinion, does the improvements to landscaping as well as fencing that we have agreed to as a condition, do they mitigate any of those impacts?
They do.
Thank you, sir. I have no further questions. I didn't mean to rush through that, but due to the similarities, just, you know, for efficiency. So we're happy to take as much time as you need and answer any questions for this site as well.
Questions from the board? Go ahead.
So no grinder pump?
No grinder pump on this site.
Okay. and that's all for now.
I just have a quick clarification. I know the concern in the previous pump was one about safety. Is there an alarm system at these locations?
Yeah, they're all the same.
Okay, right. It's like a silent alarm that goes to the...
Yeah, basically our one of ours would be like basic tech notification, and they'll be alert that there's something going on.
Okay. But there was nothing that would scare people off?
Correct.
Like a Ring camera thing. You're going to have cameras, you said there, right?
That's a probably separate evolution, I guess, but that's the long-term plan.
Not a bad idea to have a camera that says, stay away, get away, police something, I mean, you know, something.
Like motion activated? Like
yeah.
Maybe brighter lights if somebody's there. Mm-hmm. That's remind us. Come to my house.
I know we get the motion lights always because it's a double-edged sword. People then complain about the lights going
lights,
off and on and stuff.
But yes, security cameras would be good. You said that's in the long-term plan?
Yeah, for across the state, so it's not like part of this project, but it's on our radar.
Okay. I have a question about the Johnson trolley line here then. Are we thinking there's less damage to this because it's just a...
Well, this section of the trolley line, I believe, is paved already.
Oh, it's paved already.
Yeah,
okay, but there could still be damage from construction vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, we should probably have the same condition,
right,
but it's paved,
condition.
So there shouldn't be, but
right.
Yeah.
We'll put that in.
Yeah. 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 I know, because I have an easement on the back of my property. Whenever the gas line, people come on my driveway, they always crack my driveway, so... other questions from the board?
I just wanted to confirm about the wetlands. Did you get a jurisdictional determination? Because it's not on here, but I think there are wetlands.
Yeah, but not on the area disturbed, not on our area, the area that we're going to have under construction.
And that would include transition buffers, everything, so...
We looked at the IMAPs and we had somebody, one of our experts had gone out there and looked at this particular area of the property. We have an easement, we don't own the entire property. So in within what we control, we do not have wetland issues.
If it was in the wetland or the transition area, even though it's an easement, there's the regulatory conditions would still apply to the project, correct?
Correct.
And I'd say my all my questions and comments for the other one apply to this one.
Fair enough.
That's efficient.
May I ask clarification? So there's no wetlands that would be disrupted with the construction access from any sides of that red quadrant?
Correct. So there are not only no wetlands, but no wetlands transition areas or buffers that extend into our project
area. Where are you going? Okay. Thank you.
Questions?
I guess I just want to make it a condition that to double check on the wetland issue. Okay.
Just double check it.
Yeah. And just confirm, we can produce a letter from Remington and Burdick's expert who did this site investigation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have one question. The dehumidifier, can that be located in the building? Is there a reason why it was outside the building?
It's a space issue.
Space.
That's the issue. It's not a small dehumidifier.
It's a larger unit.
Yeah, it's a larger unit.
Okay.
We're constrained by space.
And you're adjusting for the pH in this one? I thought I saw something. I could be wrong, but I thought I saw that there was.
Yeah, something. I'm not sure on that.
It's not an issue. It's just I'm wondering.
It's with any pH adjustment would be consistent with the existing treatment.
So it's combined with the other wells. It's hard to break out the exact, portions.
I think that was around 2,300?
I think it's 2,600 connections. Okay. So obviously more people. That includes businesses and houses.
So that's a combination of the two wells?
These and the ones we were talking about before, 4, 5, and 8 are kind of combined, Bond Green Ave.
Yeah, so and I would multiply by 2 or 3 to get number of people.
Yeah.
Jenna's talking about connections.
Connections, right.
Yeah, so each a house is a connection, but there's multiple people on it. Mm-hmm.
No, I got the connection part, yeah. Okay.
I don't have a question. The only other item I wanted to address is in my memo, I had made some landscape recommendations, and as long as that's a condition of approval similar to the other application. I'm happy to work with folks.
Absolutely. Any objection?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd ask for just a different, more variety of plant species and some additional plantings between the trolley line and the fence.
And I was wondering about layering too and multi-seasonal impact.
So I think that's let's talk. Sorry, I don't have a microphone. Let's talk about that for a moment, because I had been focused on evergreen trees. Oh, thank you. I have been focused on evergreen trees to try to provide some screening for the site, as opposed to flowering trees or something that might turn colors in the winter. Maybe along the trolley line, it might make sense to give something nice for folks as they're walking along the trolley line. But along the rear, I was focused on evergreen trees just to make sure that. So that's not visible.
How tall would they grow? How tall potentially would those evergreens become?
Depends on the species, but it could be 50 to 80 feet.
Questions, comments from the public?
No.
All right. Double fees on this one.
Yeah.
one more okay. Thing. Similar construction time frame, 6 months approximately?
I think it's about 9, and they will not be simultaneous. It's going to be because of operation. We don't want to be taking down one well, or both wells at the same time. So it's one, I think six. I think 6 goes first,
okay.
And then we'll come back and do 9.
And why is 9 longer?
They should be about the same time.
Okay.
Aqua has pre-ordered the equipment, so it's not waiting on the equipment. But and the construction is, this is an addition, the other one's a little bit more of a building, total building reconstruction.
Okay.
But Aqua's very anxious to get them done. But we do have to stagger them and sequence them to not be simultaneous.
Any other water companies that we don't know about?
I know, right?
It's just the three then, right?
Aqua, American,
and Trent, right?
Yeah.
Trent 3. Because I hadn't heard of Aqua until tonight. So.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, the Lawrenceville School has their own also, and they also have to do the PFAS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it used to be Gordon State. Yeah.
I think we changed it a couple times. There were
different names. So
Lawrenceville Water, too.
Oh.
It was Gordon, I think it was Gordon State Water.
And Elizabeth, too.
So different names.
I mean, for us, that was Lawrence.
No, we've always been Trenton Water. But Elizabeth Water was here, too.
Mm. Well, my side of town is American Water.
You're American Water. Yeah. Okay. We have all three water companies.
We have
companies.
All three water.
Four all together.
With the Lawrenceville School.
The school has their own. Mm-hmm. Lawrenceville School. Mm-hmm. All right, any more questions?
No.
All right, so can we have a motion to approve with the similar, and they're the
similar conditions. A few little different changes,
right.
But we got them.
You got them, okay. Motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
Approve the application? Moved.
We got
second.
Phil.
Second.
And.
Okay.
Mayor Farmer.
Yes.
Ms. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Duran?
Yes.
Ms. Lovelace?
Yes.
And Councilwoman Perry?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being ahead of the game.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was being
proactive.
Yeah. And we've also had some other departments and other facilities that aren't even regular IPK.
The Green Street got some good press.
We were just looking at it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.